All of us have this hole in our heart that's calling us to something greater. And it can only be filled with God. But we try to fill it with everything else this world has to bring. Comfort and pleasure and money and whatever, you name it. You can list it, and it just, and it's a bottomless pit when you try to fill it with your own understanding. But when you trust in the Lord, He fills it to the brim with an eternal hope. Hey, we're starting this new series called Now Showing, and we're going to show a clip every week because, you know, we love going to the movies and we're in the movies. You guys, the seats are pretty darn awesome to listen to a message, right? No falling asleep. You got to make me that promise with me. Don't recline too far back. But like we did a few years ago, we're church at the movies, so now we have Now Showing. And, you know, we go to the movies and we hear all these different ideas, and I think a lot of people shape their theology based on what they see on movies, or maybe what they see on Instagram Reels or on TikTok, and they see all these videos come up and go, well, God's like this and God's like that, or this is what the universe is like. And, you know, we decided we're going to do a series called Now Showing. And actually, Now Showing is, I'm on the big screen. I never thought I'd be on the big screen before. We decided to put this up this week because we didn't think you could handle Pastor Zach's aura on the screen. Unfortunately, I thought we were using the lens that takes 20 pounds off. Okay. But we're excited for this new series here called Now Showing. And we're going to talk about who God is. And our theme verse for this whole series is Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And it says this, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen." And not just seen past tense, they're still seen, and we can see them right now. They're showing right now. "Being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." You know, as believers, we're without excuse to not know who this God is that we say we put our faith in. We purposely sang, "I trust in God" today, because we say we trust God, but do we know who He really is? What is God really like? And so that's what we're going to be diving into. And so our first point this morning I want you to really take home is this. Since the beginning of time, God has been showing us his nature, and he is still showing us today. He's still showing us today. Now, if there's any theology nerds out there, which I don't know if there are very many, Pastor Joel's over here, I kind of am. It's what I do for a living. I teach theology at Linfield, and summer's coming to an end. Any students in here? Where are the students at? Sorry, guys, you only have like a week or two left of summer. How many teachers in here? Yeah. Yeah. We go back to work. Summer's an awesome time, but we're going back. And so I'm going to teach some kind of theological stuff right now. Do not check out because it applies to your life, okay? So here's some really big words that we're going to talk about God's character. Ready? There's the incommunicable attributes versus the communicable attributes, okay? Incommunicable versus communicable. Now you're like, what is that, Pastor Matt? Incommunicable are attributes belonging uniquely to God and not shared with any other creature. These are attributes that only God possesses. We cannot share these qualities. So for example, today I'm preaching on eternal, that God's always been. No beginning, no end. I'm not eternal. Will I get to live for eternity? Yes, but I haven't always been. I had a birth date. God didn't have a birth date, right? So these are the attributes that we do not share versus the communicable attributes, right? We usually use the word communicable with diseases, right? COVID-19, communicable diseases we can share with one another. So these would be attributes that are reflected in finite measure. So like we talk about, God is perfect in holiness. Nobody is perfect in holiness. But we can share that quality in a finite measure in us humans who bear God's image. Remember, we are God's image bearers. We're created in the Imago Dei. And so we can share some of these attributes. So there's incommunicable versus communicable. Now, Take your. I'm actually asking you to take your phones out at church if you want to, and take a picture of this list. All right. Next slide. Here's the incommunicable attributes. All right. I'm not preaching on every single one. We would be here until the final movie gets out at 10 o'clock tonight. I don't think anyone wants it to happen. But over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at all of these different attributes. Maybe not all of them, but most of them. We're going to touch on them, okay? So here's the incommunicable. And you might be like, I have no idea what some of these words are, right? Like, well, the first one, aseity. Anyone know what that means? Yeah, it means that God is self-existent, all right? And they're self-sufficient, eternal, immutable, infinite, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, sovereign, simple, and independent, okay? And now here's the list of communicable attributes. Ready? Take a picture of this one. These are things that can be shared, right? Holiness, justice, grace, wisdom, peace, wrath, jealousy, love, mercy, goodness, patience, faithfulness, kindness, righteousness, compassion, and truthfulness. And we're going to touch on these as well. And I know some people go, jealous. God's jealous. That's such an ugly attribute. We're going to dive into that one for sure so we can understand it. There's a very famous clip in the late 90s about how when Oprah walked away from her faith because she heard a pastor say that our God is a jealous God and not understanding that attribute, okay? So diving in today, we're going to look at two. The first one that I want us to look at this is eternal. That God is eternal, that he has no beginning and no end, all right? And trust me, this is going to apply to your life. You trust me for like five more minutes? Okay, so this is teaching time. I'm getting back into teaching mode, all right? I got to teach the 17-year-olds. You know how hard it is to keep their attention span? All right, you know what our school's doing? No cell phones on campus. Hallelujah. Those kids are like, oh, Mr. Moore, when we're done, it's like they're like, I need my phone. It's been 30 minutes. Okay, no phones on campus. I love it. I get to keep my phone, but they don't get to have their phones. I might tease them. I go, oh, what's that? I got an update. No, I won't do that. All right, so God is eternal. Here we go. Psalm 90, verse 2 says this. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is eternal, okay? It goes on. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, right? That's the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. It's this idea that he is the first and he is the end. He has always been and always will be, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. You see, God is eternal. Now, I want you to wrap your brains around this, okay? If God is eternal, that means that he is outside of time. He's not bound by the constraints of time because God is the creator of time. So think about this. God, for God, creation, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and your lives right now are all simultaneous. Because he is outside of time. He has no beginning, no end. He's the creator of time. He's not bound by the things that he created. Unlike us, who are bound by time, we have a day we were born, and then we live our lives, and based on that life, eternity will be determined, right? And so God is eternal. And the second attribute I want to look at, it goes hand in hand with God being eternal, is that he is immutable. What does immutable mean? Is that God never changes. God never changes. You know, part of what I teach is theology and apologetics. Apologetics is being able to defend your faith. And one of the arguments that people have against Scripture and against God is it seems like God in the Old Testament is this cranky, grumpy guy that likes to kill people, and God of the New Testament is this lovey-dovey guy that wants to save everyone. Can I tell you that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are the exact same God? The same love and grace that you see in the New Testament, it's there in the Old Testament if you're looking for it. The hesed love of God, the hesed, that's the Hebrew word saying this loving compassion, covenant love that God has for his people. He is patient and long-suffering for them. And then the people who say the Old Testament God was wrathful and all this stuff. Have you read the New Testament? Has anyone read Revelation? There's judgment coming because he's a just and holy God. We need to understand he does not change. Look what it says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. It says, I, the Lord, do not change. He doesn't change. He is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. Now, I wish some of us could have that attribute in our lives, where we're the same person all the time. We are who we say we are. Well, look what it says in Numbers chapter 23. It says, God is not human, that he should what? Lie. Man, as humans, we really are good at deceiving and lying and not being truthful to who we really are and should be. He's not a human being, that he should change his mind. When Scripture says that God loves you, he doesn't change his mind and says he doesn't love you. When it says that God accepts you, he doesn't change his mind saying you're no longer accepted, because he is always the same. He's immutable. James chapter 1, verse 17 says this, and I love this verse. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Now watch this. Who does not change like shifting shadow. I saw this crazy video. Did you know that in Hawaii, there's like 2 or 3 days a year where the sun is perfectly overhead, that it casts no shadows for just like a minute or two? It's a weird phenomenon. These guys filming, he's like, there's literally no shadow. And he had like cones and all this stuff. There's no shadows because the sun was perfectly vertical. But guess what? Did that last forever? No, 2 minutes later, what was back? The shadow, because it shifts. God's not like these shifting shadows where he changes. He is the same. And then that brings us to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. That tells us Jesus Christ. And in this series, we're going to talk about the Trinity, and we're going to talk about how Jesus is fully God and fully man. And so when it says Jesus Christ, this is referencing God. We believe that he is 100% God, is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so God is eternal. He has no beginning and end. And over that eternity, God doesn't change. He's consistent. And we can trust that. Look what it says in Psalm 102. We see both attributes here in this one verse, that he's eternal and that he doesn't change. It says, in the beginning, you, speaking of God, laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Anyone have a favorite pair of clothes that they wish would never wear out? My wife's thrown away many a t-shirt and shorts, and I'm like, where'd those shorts go? They were time. It was time. It was time. My wife has a shirt that I don't really like, and it got stuck behind a chair, and she's like, you threw that shirt out, didn't you? I'm like, I promise I didn't. And she found it. I said, see, I didn't. She's like, you hid it though. I said, no, I didn't hide it. I didn't hide that garment. Like clothing, you will change them. This is speaking of God, right? God will change them. It's talking about creation. God's the creator of all things, and all of this, it's going to burn and fade. They will be discarded, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. God's years will never end. So he's eternal and he's immutable. So you might be asking this question right here. So what? So what? Pastor Matt, you gave us all this theology, okay? God is eternal. God doesn't change. Why does this matter? This is where we go from orthodoxy to orthopraxy. And I know I'm using big words, but follow with me, okay? Orthodoxy is the theology we believe is right and true and in line with Scripture. Orthopraxy, think of practice, is how we now apply that truth to our everyday lives, okay? So it should change us, who we are in our faith, knowing that God is eternal and he does not change. So, we can now trust God's nature, character, promises, and plan can be trusted. Think about that. If God is eternal and God does not change, then all of the promises that we find in Scripture, the plan that is written out for us, who God is in every situation in our lives, He does not change. So that should build our faith and our trust. God calls every single one of us to live by faith. And faith is trust. You know, this stage a little bit smaller than our old stage, and I tend to be a wanderer when I preach, and I've had five people say this morning, Pastor Matt, do not walk off the edge right here or right here, okay, because they don't trust that I'm going to do, that I might fall, okay? God's not like this stage with limits. We can trust Him. We can trust everything that this thing has to say. And I know there's hard, confusing things written in Scripture. And we challenge you as pastors here at Fusion Christian Church, dive into God's Word and get to know what it says. And when you find hard things, underline them, write questions, bring them to church. You know, 6 weeks from now is my second favorite time of the year. Anyone know what happens in six weeks? The Raiders come back, and it's a new time of hope for about 2 weeks. We play the Dolphins week one. We should start off with a win. And everyone knows I love watching football. And so in 6 weeks, most of the conversations that people have with me, they start to rib me a little bit, how those Raiders are looking real good, right? And it has to do with football. You know how much I would prefer our conversations at church? Like, Pastor Matt, I was reading the Bible the other day, and I got a question for you. And then when this guy comes over here to talk about the Raiders, I'm like, no, I'm talking about important stuff over here. Now, do I love the Raiders? Yes. Is it important to eternity? No, it's not. Fantasy football, it's fun. But when we get to know the creator of you and I, in an intimate, deeper way that builds our faith so that when the hard times of life come, we have this foundation of faith and trust that we can live on. That's the important stuff. And so if you come to me and say, Pastor Matt, what does this mean? Man, let's go. Let's dive into this. Let's take a look. Let's learn what Scripture has to say about the character of God. And so when you understand that God's eternal and He does not change, the following verses, they hit a little bit different. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I'm sure you've heard this verse before. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I love it when Scripture uses the extremes. All, everything. We're to trust God with all of our heart because He's eternal and He doesn't change. And don't lean on your own understanding. Anyone here think they're right about everything? There's some people in here, yeah, right? Most of the time, I'm right about everything. My wife will say, yeah, I think I'm right about everything. But you know what I found? When I start leaning on my own understanding, I'm wrong a whole lot more than God is. Because God's never wrong. His word can be trusted. And so as we start living now our lives and we take this theology and we start to apply it into my everyday life, I can say, wow, God, since this is your character and who you are, I can trust you in this situation with all of my heart and not lean on what I think is right. And in all my ways, I'm going to submit to you, God, because you can be trusted. And you will make your paths straight. Make your paths straight. I can't believe it, but my oldest is 13, and she's already talking about how she's so close to driving. I said, darling, that's in 3 years. Yeah, Dad, I'm ready to drive right now. Okay. Do you think when I take my daughter driving, the first lesson's going to be Highway 74 over the Otega? No, it's going to be a straight-line parking lot at probably 6 in the morning where there's no other cars that she can hit. No one else coming in to try to park so that it's as straight as possible. Why? Because the easiest thing to do in a car is go what? Straight. Go straight. Yes, thank you. To go straight. God says, hey, I'm not going to give you this giant windy path. When you lean on your own understanding, it's going to feel like you're on a windy path. But when you put your full trust in me and submit to me, man, I'm going to straighten that path out. There might be some bends and turns, but it's going to be pretty straight compared to when you lean on your own understanding. Isaiah said it this way. You, this is speaking of God. God, he keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord your God is an everlasting rock. He's eternal. He does not change. And so I know you're up here going, Pastor Matt, you're preaching about this theology stuff. That impacts our mind. And when our mind is stayed on him, it begins to trickle down that hard journey that goes from our heart down, our head down to our heart, right? That's the longest journey in someone's life, is getting something from here to here where you actually believe it. But you have to have it here before it gets implanted into here. You have to know who God is before you can start putting trust in him. And we're trusting God for eternity. So let's get to know this creator of all things. Psalm chapter 9, verse 10 says this, and those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So we seek after God because he's not changing. And Hebrews 10:23 tells us, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, without shifting. For he who promised is faithful. If you remember that list of all the attributes I gave you, right? Remember incommunicable versus communicable, big words, right? Communicable had faithful on there, and incommunicable had eternal and immutable. Because God is eternal, and because he doesn't change, that now impacts his what? His faithfulness. Since God doesn't change, his faithfulness never fades. His word can be trusted. So we hold fast to those promises because it's part of who God's character is. So we can trust God's plan, his character, his nature, and his promises found in God's word. And the last thing I want to leave you with is that we now live with an eternal hope. We live with an eternal hope. So many people I talk to are searching for something more in their life. They're living this life without hope. Pastor Matt, there's got to be something better. There's got to be something more. There's a famous interview, was it 2020, did an interview with Tom Brady, 15 years ago. He already had like 4 championship rings. How many did he end up with? 6, 7? Ugh, I hate Tom Brady. Sorry, as a Raider fan, it was a fumble. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. 2002. Yes, okay, it's nightmares, all right? The Raiders should have been in the Super Bowl, not Tom Brady. And then, anyways, now he owns my team. Anyways, he has 4 championships. He's got a family. He's married to a Brazilian supermodel. And he's in the interview. He says, I've got all these accomplishments. There's got to be something else. And I wanted to reach to the TV and say, there is something else. There's the greatest something else. There's the God who created you and gave you those talents that wants and desires a relationship with you so that you get to be in his presence, not just for this life, but for all eternity. So no matter how this life turns out for you, there's eternal hope for every single one of us. And because it's part of God's nature and who he is, I can put my trust in that hope and know that one day when I die and give my last breath, that there is glory waiting for me. And so I live with hope. Many of you who are close to me know I struggle with my health. And there's days where I feel hopeless, that my body's not doing what it's supposed to do. And thankfully, I'm married to a woman who reminds me that even though my body doesn't work, God's got so much more for me in eternity. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. It says, he has made everything beautiful in its time, and he also set eternity in the human heart. So not only is God eternal, but he set this desire for every one of us to have this eternal thing deep down in our hearts, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. All of us have this hole in our heart that's calling us to something greater. And it can only be filled with God. But we try to fill it with everything else this world has to bring. Comfort and pleasure and money and whatever, you name it. You can list it, and it's a bottomless pit when you try to fill it with your own understanding. But when you trust in the Lord, he fills it to the brim with an eternal hope. Look what Paul wrote in the very first verse in the book of Titus. He says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Why did he write this book? To further the faith of God's elect. Those are people that God has a relationship with for eternity. And their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, that changes our life, right? For what? In the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. You see, when you understand God's nature and his attributes, that verse, man, it's so much more significant. God, you promised from before the beginning of time that those who put their trust in you have an eternal hope. I put my trust in that. Do you? When we sing a worship song that says, I trust in God, those are the things that are running through my mind. God, you're eternal. God, you don't change. God, you're faithful. And I put my trust in you. Because when I put my trust in me, man, life stinks. But when I put my trust in you, it's so great. Because there's eternal hope. What it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy. It's one of those communicable attributes, right? Hopefully I've ruined you that when you read scripture and you see these words, you're like, oh, that's an attribute of God. Oh, that's an attribute of God. And you start to see these things, right, of who he is. In God's great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. How did he do it? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. We all have an eternal inheritance that he is holding on tightly to. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. If you say, I trust in God, I trust in Jesus, I put my full faith in Jesus and his finished work of the cross and his victory over sin and death on Easter Sunday, then God is holding on to an inheritance for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And so I'm going to share one last verse with you. No, I got two more. I got ahead of myself. And so as you're living through life and you're going through those rough spots, maybe you're struggling with some sort of medical diagnosis, financial issue, relationship issue. Everyone goes through something hard. I don't stand at these doors and welcome people into church thinking that every single person has a perfect life. Because no one has a perfect life. And so I have this tattooed on my wrist as a reminder. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we do not lose heart. Though outwardly are wasting away. Every day is a day closer to the day we die. Some of our bodies feel a little more wasted than others. But our inner self, our hearts, are being renewed day after day after day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. All the hard stuff you go through in life is minuscule compared to what God has prepared for us in eternity. An eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Who's unseen? God. His attributes that never change, he is eternal. For the things that are seen are transient. They're here one day and they pass. But the things that are unseen are eternal. And so how do you guarantee this? How do you know? How do you leave this room knowing that your inheritance is kept safe for you for all of eternity? The most famous scripture in all the Bible. That's been preached probably more than any other scripture in the world. You probably know what's coming up. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whoever believes, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, who puts their faith and trust in him, they shall not perish, but have eternal life. All of these promises that I just read from scripture, they can only be true if they stem from God. And since they come from God and who he is, his nature, his attributes, his character, we can put our trust fully into them because God doesn't change. And over the next several weeks, as we're looking at this now showing, we're going to look at who God is. What is he like? What's this person that I'm putting my trust into so that every single day when I live my faith out, it gets a little bit easier? Because the more you get to know him, the more you can trust him. And the more you stop leaning on your own understanding and leaning into him and submitting to him.